Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life, Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the book of Revelation, the book of the revelation of St. John the Divine, the revelation of God the Father to his Holy Son Jesus, which he gave to his angel to give to the servant of the Lord, the apostle, disciple, John. I'll be sharing from the passage of Scripture listed as chapter 8, followed by the passage listed as chapter 9, and I expect also from the passage listed as chapter 10. So beginning with the passage referenced as being chapter 8, in the revelation of John. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound." So returning to the beginning of this passage of Scripture, in the revelation of God the Father to God the Son, to the angel of the Lord, to John. What is referenced as being chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal. Who is he? Only the Lamb of God was found worthy to open the seals. Only the Lamb of God, only the Lord Jesus Christ. when he had opened the seventh seal. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, not to make too much to do about this, because this is simply hypothesizing, if you will. But we do have it on faithful account that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So if one day is as 1,000 years, you could say, well, we can extrapolate this. This is about the space of half an hour. In other words, about a 48th of a day. So let's round that off to a 50th. With there being 24 hours in a day, 48 half hours in a day, let's make it a 50th. So a 50th of 1,000 years. Well, a 50th of 500 years would be 10 years, a 50th of 1,000 years, 20 years. So it's possible, just possible. Not saying this is the case, but it's possible it could be referring to a span of time of approximately 20 years. Or it may not have any significance that way at all. But when he, the Lamb of God, had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Whether there is any significance to that span of time or not, there is significance that there is this prolonged silence in heaven. This reverential silence. You know, here in the United States of America and presumably in the Western world, former Christendom, with things being as corrupt and depraved as they are and anti-Christian as they are, with things having devolved the way they have, every instance when there should be prayer, public acknowledgement of the one true God, of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, instead, there are usurpations. One of the favorites is this matter of a moment of silence. Oh, the hushed, reverential moment of silence when all of the people, they can think, meditate, pray to whomever, whatever they care to, or refrain from doing anything of the kind, because after all, we do not want to offend any heathens, any pagans, any infidels, any worshipers of Satan. Any worshipers of false gods who actually are in essence Satan, as is the case with Allah, which is a pseudonym for Satan. But heaven forbid that we offend anyone, just as the United States Army, the wonderful United States Army, decades and decades ago, back when this amount of money was considered a very large sum, that is, oh my word, I'm not sure how much it was. I think it may have been a mere $500,000. Could have been that small an amount, $500,000, but was spent to indoctrinate U.S. Army chaplains not to evangelize members of the Church of Satan who were members of the U.S. Army, but rather to minister to them without offending them, without confronting them about their disgraceful worship of Satan, without attempting to win them to the Lord, evangelize them. The United States Army spent this money courtesy of the federal government of the United States of America. We've come such a long way. But again, that was decades ago. But oh yes, the hushed, reverential moment of silence, the obligatory moment of silence. Well, here in heaven, at this point in time that is drawing ever so near, there is silence in heaven for the space of about an half hour. It's extraordinary. You just don't find that anywhere in the entirety of the revelation to John. But here we have this. And I saw the seven angels. John saw the seven angels, which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So immediately preceding God Almighty providing these seven trumpets to these seven angels, there is this prolonged, protracted silence in heaven. It denotes graveness of purpose, gravity in the extreme. Not some man-made gravitas, but extreme graveness, gravity of purpose. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. When we read of a censer, a golden censer, we typically are reading in the Old Testament, reading of the Levitical priesthood, reading of the tabernacle. But here, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. I'm reminded of rebels against God, such as Korah, who offered up strange fire before God via their censers. And they were not alone. There were others. Two of the four sons of Aaron who did such. And God dealt with these rebels severely. He slew them. But here in heaven, before the throne of God, This angel is given much incense. In Tyndale's New Testament, it describes it as odors. This angel had a golden censer. He did not offer the incense via his censer. He did not put the incense in the censer. No. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints. Oh, brother, those saints, those are Jews, those are Hebrews, those are back in the Old Testament. No, they're not. Oh, well, they are the canonized ones of the Roman Catholic Church. No, they are not. Those who have been canonized by the Roman Catholic abomination. They are the host, if you will, of all true believers in God. Every true believer in the Lord God Almighty, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a saint, and no one else is. But here this angel, this mighty angel, is to offer up the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne of God Almighty. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand, not from the censer, but out of the angel's hand. The incense burned in the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire. Hail and fire. You wouldn't think those two would go together, would you? Hail. You know, ice. Hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Oh, we have all of these wonderful environmental activists and all of these political actors who are making great to-do about the need to mount up some orchestrated war against global climate change. Why? What's the reason for that? The reason, very simply, is to use that as a vehicle to enable enslavement of the entire world, enslavement of all of the peoples of the world, which is coming very soon. But here is an event that overshadows any so-called global climate change. The third part of trees was burnt up. This is not a localized forest fire or wildfire. This is one third of the trees on the earth burned, along with all green grass. You know what herds eat? Sheep, goats, cattle. And so forth. So many animals graze on grass, and all green grass burns, along with one-third of the trees on the earth. Massive, extraordinary. Imagine if you can the amount of smoke that will be generated by this, that will fill the earth's atmosphere. Imagine. Just an extraordinary volume of smoke that will fill the air. Now, you could say, well, it's only one-third of the trees. Yes, only one-third, that's all. You know, unlike anything that's ever been seen before, but nonetheless, one-third. So then, theoretically, not all of the atmosphere is affected by it. However, air moves. Different temperatures, winds. The air circulates, and the smoke will circulate. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. A great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Now, the most extraordinary events that have been noted, have been studied, have included supervolcanoes. But even the most extraordinary supervolcano eruption in Indonesia has not involved an entire mountain being cast into the sea. Again, this is over and above anything that has ever happened before. The power involved and the effect, the shock waves, are just beyond imagination. But what happened? What are we told happened following this great burning mountain of fire being cast into the sea? We are told the third part of the sea became blood. You can set aside all environmental activities, cleanup of the waters, and other such things. One third of the seas, of the oceans, became blood. Oh, brother, it doesn't mean that. No, it doesn't mean that. This is all a metaphor. This is all poetic license, allegorical. Nothing to get concerned about. It is literal truth. But Yes, the churches are such a mess. There are so many learned theologians and church leaders who would have us believe that these things shall not be. The third part of the sea became blood. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. We are not told, we are not given any specific information about which creatures are most likely to have died, which ships are most likely to have been destroyed. We can hypothesize and so forth, but the impact is just absolutely enormous worldwide. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Why would men die from drinking bitter water? Why would that be deadly? Well, bitter is, I think, an inadequate translation. The effect of drinking the waters is that these men were poisoned. They died. So even though we have the word bitter, the impact, the effect, is of having drunk poisoned water. The third part of the waters, of the rivers, of the fountains of waters became contaminated, polluted, poisoned. And as far as many men dying, many people died. It doesn't mention animals dying from this. Perhaps the animals will be able to detect that the waters are poison and not to drink therefrom. But more likely than not, we just aren't told about all of the animals that die from drinking the poisoned water. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened. Now, what does this mean? The third part of the sun was smitten, struck. What happened? Was the third part of the sun broken off from the sun? And likewise the moon and likewise the stars? It doesn't tell us. Except that the third part of them was darkened. And as a result of that, the day shall not for a third part of it. It's not that the sunlight was made one-third less intense. Instead, the effect is that one-third of the day no longer has daylight. And one-third of the night no longer has the light from the moon and the stars. Oh, brother, that can't be so. Come on, that's not real. That is strictly poetic. That cannot be. Because after all, we know better. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Yes, you've witnessed what is going to transpire here due to the effect, the impact following the first four angels sounding with their trumpets. But there are three more coming. And there shall be great woe. And so moving into the following passage, listed as being chapter 9. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So, returning to the beginning of this passage, referenced as being chapter 9 in the Revelation of John. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This star is apparently an angel. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Oh, but by all means, we need to have war against global climate change, against global warming. That makes so much sense. Let's marshal all of the Earth's resources to wage war against global warming, global climate change, and thereby save ourselves. That only works if there is no God, if there is no creator God, and no Satan, no heaven, no hell. You know, John Lennon's Imagine. That's the only way that that can even begin to work. It is a ridiculous pipe dream, as in a pipe that is being used to smoke substances which are hallucinatory. But the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And of course, we previously had the smoke generated by the burning of one third of the trees and all of the green grass. But curiously, seemingly contradictorily, we have other reference to trees and green things. Coming up. And there came out of the smoke from the pit, of the bottomless pit, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So locusts came out of the smoke upon the earth. But the power of scorpions was given to them. Curious. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. That is very curious because, after all, just immediately prior to this, we had 1/3 of the trees burnt up, consumed, and every blade of green grass burned. Nonetheless, it was commanded to these very special locusts that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. These very special locusts were sent to torment the men, the people who did not worship God. And to these locusts it was given that they should not kill these rebellious men, these rebellious people, but that those rebels should be tormented 5 months, and that their torment should be as the torment from being struck by scorpions. And in those days shall men, people, seek death. In those days shall men, women, people seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. They shall not be able to commit suicide. They shall not even be able to commit suicide by killing one another. Incredible. And yet these people, these vast numbers of people, shall desire to die, shall attempt to die, and shall not be able to die, and shall be tormented for 5 months. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Amazing, really. Oh, well, it's just an allegory. It's just poetic license. No need to pay attention to it. Even if it is the Bible, just disregard it. Disregard the Old Testament. Disregard the prophets. Disregard Revelation. While we're at it, disregard the Gospels. Disregard Jesus at every turn. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. This king over them, this angel, we're not told if that is the same unnamed star that fell from heaven, unto whom was given the key of the bottomless pit. But seemingly, that is highly, highly likely. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, as I've mentioned before, God Almighty uses multiple names to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophecies throughout the Bible routinely, typically, refer to Jesus by different names, refer to nations of peoples that they are concerning by different names, refer to a people, a family, a tribe, a nation at one point in time, but also apply to others thereafter. This reference to the great river Euphrates, it is certainly possible, even reasonable, that this is referring to the river that we reference as being Euphrates at this point in history. But it need not be the case. Nonetheless, the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of man. This is extraordinary. The sixth angel sounds his trumpet. And then there is a voice from the golden altar, which is before God in heaven, which speaks to this sixth angel, commanding him to loose the four angels which are bound. These are not God-honoring, God-worshipping, God-serving angels, because they are bound, chained, imprisoned in the great river Euphrates. And the sixth angel loosed them from their bondage. They were prepared, these four were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. If you read the book of Jonah, you will find instance upon instance upon instance upon instance upon instance of God prepared. And here, these four angels that have been bound in the great river Euphrates, they were prepared by God in spite of themselves to be used by God. At one point in time that is soon approaching, rapidly approaching, to slay one third of mankind. They are prepared for an hour of a day, of a month, of a year. How specific can you get? It's not just, well, some year, some season, some month, some week. No. It is a specific hour of a day. It is down to that kind of precision. And it's very soon arriving. It's drawing nigh. So how were they to do this? Well, they are going to do this. These four bad angels are going to do this with the army of the horsemen that in the King James Version, authorized version, are stated as being 200,000. In other words, 200 million. In Tyndale's, it's a much, much, much smaller force. Namely, 20 times 10,000. So, 200,000 as compared to 200 million. But, regardless, you may prefer that. You may prefer 200,000, right? Instead of 200,000. It's just leaving off one of those thousands there. So it's, in Tyndale's, it's 1,000 times less in this army than it is in the King James Version. But regardless what the number is, whether it's 200,000 or 200 million, they accomplish their mission. Ironic, isn't it, that God uses bad angels? But guess what? If you read throughout the Bible, you find time after time after time after time, God using the worst of the heathens, the worst of the pagans, to punish his chosen people to death. This is not exactly unprecedented, to put it mildly. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Interesting, don't you think? I mean, you'll look at the cumulative effect here, really. We have, going back to the passage listed as chapter 8, we have hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And they caused, the hail that was cast upon the earth caused one third of the trees to burn and all green grass to burn, causing enormous smoke worldwide. But not just that. The second angel sounded, there was a great mountain burning with fire that was cast into the sea. Imagine the smoke from that. And then the third angel sounded, a great star from heaven burning, as it were a lamp, fell upon one third of the rivers and the fountains of waters, again causing great smoke. And then the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the star. Would that have resulted in smoke? It's a ways above us, after all. And then we have this star fall from heaven unto the earth. And the bottomless pit is opened. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And now we have an army of 200 million or 200,000, take your pick. And out of the mouths of this army, these horses whose heads are like lions, out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was one third of mankind killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. What a picture. Oh, but it's just poetic license. It's just an allegory. It's just metaphor upon metaphor. It's nothing to be believed. It's nothing to be regarded. It's nothing to be concerned about. But we need to join forces worldwide to wage war against global warming and against global climate change, one and the same, and against pandemics. But we should disregard God's word. It's unreliable. It's untrustworthy. The words, the commands, the orders, the findings, the information from corrupt, depraved, wicked, immoral, godless people, That's to be believed and obeyed slavishly. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. Every false religion on the face of the earth worships devils. And those devils serve Satan. They are proxies for Satan. And in other cases, as with Islam, it is direct worship of Satan via the pseudonym Allah. But no, we should just disregard God's word, God's holy word. And we should instead be ruled and reigned over by corrupt, depraved, wicked, anti-God, anti-Christ men and women, women and men. Right? Well, moving on to the passage which is listed as being Chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So, returning to the beginning of this passage, listed as being chapter 10 in the Revelation of John. I saw another mighty angel. Now, there are angels and there are angels. How are they pictured? How are they depicted? Typically. How often have you seen these sweet little rotund peaches and cream cherubs, cherubic children, angels? And other times you see slender, flaxen-haired young women, angels. Very common. These are very, very common depictions. But we do not get any such depictions from God's holy word. All angels are relatively mighty. But then there are angels and there are angels. And there are the particularly mighty angels. And here we have another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. The rainbow which the corrupt, depraved, sodomite activists have chosen to appropriate and defile and desecrate and use as their little, one of their many little symbols. They can do that on the earth amongst we sinful people, but they shall have their day. And then no such corruption shall be permitted. But this mighty angel was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Really a very similar description to how Jesus is described elsewhere. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Fascinating way to express that, isn't it? Thunders, seven thunders uttered their voices. I mean, since when do thunders have voices? There are sounds. You could even say noise, which is very inaccurate, but voices. God's perspective is so different from ours. God's word is true. And these seven thunders uttered their voices. These seven thunders that serve God uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. These seven thunders uttered mysteries of God, prophecies of God, which John understood and was going to write down. And he was forbidden to do so. Unbelievable, but true. Incredible, as in not credible, but true. Or we can, of course, prefer the lies of corrupt, depraved women and men who are enemies of God and of Christ, despite pretending otherwise. Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. This angel is so mighty that he states that he dares to declare that there should be time no longer. He swear by God Almighty, the Lord liveth, him that created heaven and all that is therein, the earth and all that is therein, and the sea and all that is therein. He swore by God who liveth that there should be time no longer. But that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as God hath declared by his servants, the prophets. There are a vast, vast multitudes of books that are written every year, published every year, one way or another. And one of the most popular genres of fiction is mystery. But of course, it all pales so pathetically in comparison with the mysteries of God. And the mystery of God, this angel states, should be finished, as God Almighty hath declared by his servants the prophets. It should be finished when the seventh angel begins to sound. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. This incredibly mighty angel, standing upon the sea and the earth. And John is commanded to go to this angel and to take the little book out of the hand of the angel. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. The boldness of John. Yes, John has been commanded to do this, but imagine that. The boldness of John. a mighty servant of God, a great servant of God, a meek, mild servant of God, but Boanerges, like his brother James, the sons of thunder. Humble, yes. Seemingly always taking a back seat to Peter. And never headed up the church, unlike his brother James, prior to his brother James being martyred. But the Apostle John, the beloved disciple, who took Mary, the mother of Jesus, into his home to care for her instead of any of her other children, instead of any of the children she conceived and bore to Joseph, her four sons, all of her daughters, instead Jesus saw to it that John took Mary in. John, among the most faithful, most honorable, and most deserving of the Lord's servants. John, who was used by God to provide us with the gospel according to John, with the epistles of John, and with the revelation. The boldness John, who fell down before an angel here and there because of his humility, his modesty, but here now, he goes to the angel and he says unto him, give me the little book. And the angel said unto John, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter. Not poison, bitter. But it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Not poison, but bitter. And the angel said unto me, this mighty angel said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. This after John has been serving God faithfully, doing just that for so long. There was much more for him to do. Instead of retiring, taking a sabbatical, taking an extended sabbatical, God Almighty spoke to John through the angel, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And so he did. And it was his honor to do so. These things, these mysteries, these incredible revelations bound up in this book of Revelation. We can foolishly, blindly, callously dismiss them. But we cannot do so with impunity. We cannot do so without suffering for it. God has blessed us. We are privileged to be granted that we may hear God's word, see God's word, read God's word, which has been preserved and provided to us by the Lord God Almighty and His Holy Son, the Holy Ghost, the angels of God, and God's holy will that He has breathed into imperfect but faithful, God-honoring, God-serving, chosen instruments. Not corrupt, materialistic, self-serving, self-honoring, strutting roosters who call themselves evangelists and televangelists and ministers and men of God and such other lies. Heavenly Father, Holy God, minister your love, your life, your truth to us and through us. Make a way where there is none. Make us fit for thy use. Have thy way in us and through us by thy Holy Spirit. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming and to serve thee together forever in Jesus' holy name. Soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.